Thank you, Lucas, for the introduction. To start with, I would like to welcome and to thank the many delegates which are present today and which were not necessarily present in previous sessions. This is a very positive sign, and also it means that maybe we have to be a little bit pedagogic to explain to a number of newcomers in our meeting today what are the fundamentals of our discussions. From the start, 2 years and a half ago, when we started this mandate, the European Commission and many other experts agreed that our work should fulfill two conditions, two principles. One, to be pragmatic. That is that we want to solve problems and we don't want just to create new legal frameworks for the beauty of new legal instruments. So we want to solve existing problems. And we want to be, we want to proceed step by step. As it was explained by Lukasz, we don't want to be abrupt. We don't want to disrupt the current conditions. We want to make steps and to consolidate over time the results. So in application of the first principle, the pragmatic approach, it was agreed, and it was also agreed even before this mandate, that the first area where we can make a positive impact is the harmonization of the contractual laws, of the contract of carriage. As we may see later on during this session, and the other possible areas for harmonization are not necessarily justified for harmonization, or at least there are quite a lot of issues or obstacles to make a positive impact in the short term. So that is for the pragmatic approach. In the short term, it was acknowledged that we can make a positive impact by harmonization of contract of carriage. As to the step-by-step approach, the first step was, at least in the opinion of the majority of experts, to try to address a particular type of services, which is Eurasian corridor rail freight services. This is the reason why the legal construction of the URL contract of carriage was was built on two elements. On the one hand, it has to provide a single regime for these Eurasian corridor traffic, so a single legal and liability regime. But at the same time, it should not impinge, it should not conflict with the existing regimes. So it should be applicable only for this type of direct traffic between Europe and Asia. So it should not apply within the jurisdiction of the existing regime, COTIF and SMGS, at least as a first step. The second element, which is also very important and which was initially set out in the draft URL provision, was the principle of optionality. It was considered that instead of making the new regime mandatory, we could make it optional. It could be chosen. If the operators decide to choose this regime instead of the double regime OTIF plus OSGD. And if you look at all these elements together, they satisfy actually all the positions. They satisfy the position of those who, for the time being, prefer to keep the original double system. Because it is optional, because URL is optional, then those who prefer to keep the existing practice can continue to use the existing practice. It satisfies those who want to advance in the unification of rail transport law, because it provides actually a new legal regime limited for the Eurasian corridors, but it is still a first step. And it also satisfies, in my opinion, the position of the Russian Federation, which would like that the URL regime replace the existing regime OTIF and OSJD, because in the long term, yes, in the long term, if the URL Contract of Carriage Convention proves to be successful, is used by more and more operators, then we could take a second decision to possibly make it applicable also within the OTIF and OSJD region. So we believe, we strongly believe that the initial text of Article 1, as it was designed before even that mandate started, is very balanced, very flexible, and could actually make a very first positive step, in particular for countries and operators which are interested in direct Euro-Asia rail freight services. Thank you.